I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the passage that we read together just now, Revelation chapter 1. And I'd like to take as my text this evening verse 8, where the Lord, the risen Lord, says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." This is the last book of the Bible, the closing of God's revelation of himself through his word. And John was on an island, a bit like Alcatraz, I suppose, a prison island, where he had been sent because of the word of God. He had been banished. And here he was in isolation, and he had been given this final revelation concerning the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I chose those verses from Daniel because there's such a similarity between Daniel and John. Daniel was met by the Lord, and the Lord and Gabriel too said to him, "You are a man most beloved." And he had that glorious revelation concerning the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, and that was at the end of the Old Testament revelation, at the time when the Jews were coming back in much reduced circumstances into their land. And here we are at the end of the New Testament period. And the beloved Apostle John, he also receives this revelation. Now I want us to go into this in a bit more detail on Thursday. But this evening, I want us simply to consider the person who revealed himself to the Apostle John. And I want, first of all, by way of introduction, to notice the different ways in which the Lord reveals himself to John in this first chapter. He reveals himself as Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. But not just Alpha and Omega, not just A and Z. The Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. He is the one who is revealed as all in all. In Loughborough, there's a computer store which advertise themselves as A to Z Computers. And I presume they claim to be able to sell everything to do with computers. I've only bought one thing there, and they had it in, so for me, at least they fulfilled their advertisement. And there are books of street maps, A to Z, and they claim to have every street in a particular town. And that is the meaning of Alpha, the Alpha and the Omega. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything. He is all in all. And we'll be looking at that in a few minutes. In the same verse, the Lord amplifies this. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the start and the finish, the author and the finisher of our faith, the author and finisher of all things." Then in verse 11, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." So, making it abundantly clear what he means when he describes himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then, again in verse 8, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And then again in verse 18, the one who lives was dead and who is alive forevermore. He says to John, behold, I am alive forevermore. And what could be more abundant in this revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ as the all-in-all, the one who rules over all things? And if there was any doubt at all, look at the greeting in verse 4. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Now there, God the Father reveals himself as the first and the last. So does the Lord Jesus Christ. What could be more clear that our Lord Jesus Christ is the divine King of creation, equal with the Father, and the seven spirits are is the Holy Spirit. And as I'll explain later, the revelation is because he is indwelling the seven churches, that's why he is revealed as the seven spirits of God. So there's this abundant revelation of the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the effect on John was that he fell at his feet as one dead. And remember that John had seen the Lord glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration. They had been afraid then, and Peter, James and John. But here he has this more glorious revelation, and it completely overcomes him. And the act of the Saviour was, do not be afraid. And the Lord touched him and raised him up to receive the revelation of this book. And just one last word by way of introduction, and it is that John heard this voice. He turned round. You don't turn round to see a voice, do you? You turn round to listen to someone who's speaking to you. He turned round to see the voice, and he saw this vision of the Saviour, and it is a vision which was not to be painted, not to be drawn. It was a vision to be written down, because these visions are so strange in so many ways as you go through the book, but they are all to be written down because they are for our instruction. So the fact that the Lord had this sword coming out of his mouth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and his face shining because of his intrinsic glory. These different ways in which the Lord reveals himself as the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. So briefly this evening, I want us to look at what ways the Lord Jesus Christ is the first and the last. And first of all, I want us to see that Jesus is the first and the last in creation. In the scriptures, it's quite clear that without him, the eternal word, without him, nothing was made that was made. All created things were made by the Son of God. In Proverbs, he is wisdom is personalized, and it is again the Lord Jesus Christ, and wisdom, the Lord, was beside God as a master craftsman. The Lord was at the beginning, and he brought by his word all things into being. Not alone, of course, the Father, the Son, the Spirit were there in creation, but the Lord Jesus Christ was the agent of creation. So he brought all things into being. He was the Alpha. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is now in glory. He is seated at God's right hand until all his foes are overcome, until all his enemies are made to submit, and until everyone for whom he shed his blood has been gathered in through the preaching of the gospel. And he is seated at God's right hand. He is expecting. He is waiting until that day. And then he will arise and he will come with all his saints. He will come again and he will bring all things to an end. So the Lord Jesus Christ will be the Omega of creation, the first and the last. But this Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, first and last, in this chapter, it's clearly more than just the beginning and the end. The Lord is showing that he's everything else in between as well. He is all in all. And the Lord Jesus Christ is now the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. Do you realize that this world is kept from vanishing into nothingness by the almighty word of our Lord Jesus Christ? As he is seated at the right hand of God, he is not just watching over the preaching of the gospel. He is keeping all the world in existence. He is stopping the parts of the atoms in our bodies from going into their components. And he is even stopping those components from vanishing away into nothingness. What an amazing Savior we have, that he is controlling all things, upholding all things. There's not a molecule out of place in this creation. It is all kept by the power of Almighty God. There are ways in which we try to understand, and we have to use, scientists have to, I don't have to, scientists have to use statistics and probabilities. Probably this is going to happen, probably that is going to happen. That is because it is so complex that no human mind can describe it. But to the Sovereign Lord, everything is in its place as he wants, and nothing goes astray. Even the sins of men, even the rebellions, even the atrocities of the Islamic State, they're all under his control. No wonder the Lord says to John, when he is overcome by the revelation of his glory, do not be afraid, because he is the first and the last. But secondly, there is something much more important even than our Lord being first and last in creation. He is the Alpha and the Omega of our creation, in order that he might be the first and the last in redemption. This world was made as the stage on which the Lord Jesus Christ would carry out his work of redemption. And so the creation of the world is secondary to that purpose of redemption. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega in the calling of sinners, in the establishing of the churches, and in the saving of his people. Let's see how this is so. Well, when you were saved, did you come to the Lord as your own choice? Were you not constrained to come to him? David was speaking this morning of the Philippian jailer and how the Lord dealt with him. But he would never have come unless the Lord had turned his life upside down. The Lord takes the initiative. But he hasn't just taken the initiative in you and in me. He took the initiative right back before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in him before the world began. And it is in Christ that that sinners are chosen. Christ is the Alpha of our salvation. And not only is he the Alpha, but not only is the Omega when he will return for us, but he is everything in between. We were chosen in him before the world began. He came at the right time, at the fullness of time, and he came to live a perfect life so that he was holy and harmless and undefiled, so that he was perfect, a perfect life, to be a perfect sacrifice, a perfect lamb to be offered to God upon the cross to take away our sins. And he was perfect. His work was entire. It was all in all. There was nothing that could be added to it. He was the Alpha and the Omega in his coming into this world. And he came to be a perfect sacrifice. He died for us. He took away our sins. As David was showing us this morning, our sins fell upon him rather than upon us. And he died for us as a substitute while we were his enemies. He is all in all to everyone who believes in him. Why do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do I? We love him because he first loved us. Why did our hearts begin to love him? It was a work of his Holy Spirit. He loved us, and we love him in response. We love him because he first loved us. And as I've already said, he took the initiative in bringing us to himself. I don't mean in his plan at the beginning, but through the Spirit of God, when the gospel is preached, one and another, we are brought to the Saviour. I was brought to the Saviour, probably looking round, probably before anyone else here this evening. Stan, Nigel, I can remember Nigel coming to know the Lord. I can remember Anna coming to know the Lord. But in every case, they were brought to the Lord. We were brought to the Lord because the Spirit of God worked in our hearts through the gospel. In the preaching of the gospel, we are taught of the Lord, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, we respond. But God in Christ took the initiative. He is all in all to his people. And if you're not his, he must be all in all to you. You must find him, the one who will save you from your sins. And you must ask him, as we have found, that unless he works in our hearts, we will remain in our sins, because he is the one who is the Alpha and the Omega in our coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, why is it that I, in all my stupidity, in all my folly, I'm still here after all these years serving the Lord? Why is it? It is because he is the one who has kept me, and he keeps us all by the work of his Spirit within. He is the Alpha and the Omega in our Christian lives, and he will return for us at the end of time, or he will call us to be with himself at the appropriate time, and it will be he who will do it. So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega in creation. I would say, more important than that, he is the Alpha and the Omega in redemption. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself as the Alpha and the Omega, he is certainly the one who is in control. But the whole of this last book is about the conquest of the gospel and the establishment of the eternal kingdom and the bringing in of the new heaven and the new earth. And then finally, I want us to see that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega in his word. Where have I been able to say these things? How have I been able to say these things to you this evening? Where have I got them from? Is it because I'm smart? Far from it. It's because I've been told. And I've been told in the Word of God. And I have been given, as have so many of us this evening, a heart to love and to revere the Lord Jesus Christ as he reveals himself in his Word. And he is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega in his Word. The Scriptures are all about him. That's why people like some of the cults, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Christadelphians, especially the Christadelphians, very ardent Bible students, but they miss the point, because the Lord Jesus Christ is not the center of the Word of God. The Scriptures are not all about the Savior, the eternal Son of God to them. So they can be quite, and are, many of them, perfectly sound on the 6 days of creation. They're perfectly sound about evolution. But they miss the point. And if they miss the point on the Lord Jesus Christ being all in all, the center and substance of the Word of God, they might just as well not bother at all. Because unless we see him as our Savior, as our all in all, the only one who can forgive us our sins, unless we see him as that in the Word of God, then it is all pointless and empty to us. Because you see, the Word of God is all about him. Even the Old Testament was all about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he showed them all those parts of the Old Testament that spoke of him and his sufferings. And he is there so much in the Old Testament. That passage that I read from Daniel was about the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom being an everlasting kingdom. Did you notice the similarities between that and this first book, first chapter of the book of Revelation? The Lord Jesus Christ is the first and the last, the sum and substance, the center of the Word of God. And it's only through reading that, understanding it by the power and revelation of the Spirit of God, that we see him to be the first and the last in creation, that we see him to be the first and the last in redemption, and see him to be the first and last in our salvation. Because he is the one who tells us he's coming again. He's coming quickly. 2,000 years may not seem quickly to us, but in the eternal purposes of God, it is but an instant. And he will come, and he will receive us to be with himself. And then we will see him how he is. We will see him in all his glory, because we shall be like him, and we shall be with him. And then for all eternity, he will be our all in all. May the Lord Jesus Christ be the Alpha and the Omega for every one of us here this evening. And make no mistake, unless he is, you cannot be saved. May God have mercy upon every one of us. Amen.